WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, along with Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. The Irish looked good enough against the Wolverines of Michigan as Notre Dame moves to 2-0, winning the biggest game in 2 years for Notre Dame easily. Ed, Bram, you guys were both in the stadium yesterday. I was not. Let's just first start with initial reaction of just what it feels like to be coming off of a win over Michigan.
Wow. I tell you what, it was really a great atmosphere in the stadium. And, of course, it was tremendously helped by the start. I think had we not had the tremendous start that we did, you know, how people get, here we go again, you know, that sort of thing. But there really wasn't much of that. People were excited and immediately into it. You know, I was sitting in the old part of the stadium at the south end, and lots of standing. And, you know, people standing throughout long stretches, excited for the what was going on instead of the, you know, sit down kind of stuff from some of the older crowd that you get. So that part was good. And I have to say, large number of people were troopers through what was about as heavy and intense a rain in the stadium that I've ever been through, and I've been going to games for a long time. So
yeah, pretty much. I saw the same thing. I was surprised. I mean, there was a lot of standing up early on. But I would agree. I've been going to games since I was a kid, and that by far was the worst. I mean, that rain was just absolutely horrendous in the second half. But even then, a lot of people stayed in the stadium.
You know, on TV, it did not sound loud, but everybody I've talked to, well, it was great. It was refreshing to have good atmosphere in the stadium for a big game. Now let's talk a little bit about the big plays in the game. Obviously, Ed, you alluded to getting off to a quick start. A lot's been made of Michigan handing us the game with the turnovers. But, you know, as I look back over the last 2 years, this was the kind of game that we've played against Michigan in reverse, where 2 years ago in the stadium, you know, we had a couple turnovers returned for touchdowns and couldn't hang on to the ball at all. And the conditions were reversed this time around.
Look, you go through this debate back and forth. The most important statistic is this final score at the end of the game. You know, that's what it's all about. And I don't think we have to apologize to anybody for that. But I'm not going to pretend that there wasn't some giveaways by Michigan more than takeaways by us in some situations. Now, that said, the difference is this year we jumped all over those opportunities with great execution. You say, oh, you got a short field. Oh, they gave you the short field. Yep, you bet. Thanks very much. Now I'm going to go out. I'm going to execute. I'm going to put points on the scoreboard. And that's what we did. And that's what we did not do last year.
And we did it when the game was on the line in the first half. The game was undecided. We got opportunities. We cashed in. The opportunities in the second half that we didn't cash in on, I think, is much a function of the weather conditions and the game conditions that dictated our style of play. So when you look at the statistics overall, yes, we had less than 300 yards offense, and Michigan had 388, something like that. But, A, we had a short field, as Ed said, got out to a quick lead, and then went into protection mode when the weather got bad. So I really don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think it was pretty evident that that's where, you know, there was a couple key plays, especially just starting out that second half. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, all right, Charlie, you got a 28-17 lead. For God's sakes, don't do anything crazy. Let's just run this out. And they did exactly that. They came out, they ran the ball. When they did catch the ball, they stayed in bounds. So, you know, again, this is one of those situations where if you look at the box score and you're an AP voter and you don't know what happened in the game, you think that Michigan gave it away. I mean, they absolutely, first downs, 21-14 Michigan, passing yardage, 229-147, rushing, 159-113. I mean, you look at that and then you look at turnovers and you think, oh my God, Michigan handed this game to them. Well, it really wasn't the case because in the second half with the rain and the conditions, I mean, we did exactly what we needed to do to win the game.
Michigan had to be more aggressive in the second half when the weather was terrible because they were playing from behind, which, you know, contributed to the mistakes. We had the benefit of being conservative and run on the clock. And you're right, Mike, that, you know, turnovers are a huge part of the game, make no mistake. But the statistical disparity in and of itself, I mean, there's a story behind the story, right? It wasn't that we got dominated but lucky. And I think that's how some of the national media tried to play it a little bit.
look, we've said in the past, we said it a lot last year, we've said it in other years too. I remember talking about this under Ty. There were times when we would say, God, you don't even need a drive. If you had a first down or two to run some clock, control some pace, rest your defense, get a field position advantage, then, you know, you'd do better. But our offense last year was so inept, we couldn't even do that. There were many times yesterday when we had two first downs and then punted. And you might look at that and say, you know, oh, the offense is not doing the job. Okay, well, first of all, it's a very good Michigan defense. And second of all, that's what we've been looking for. That's the progress. You make two first downs, run clock, rest your defense, and flip field position. That's huge in football. That's
yeah, not only that, but there was – how many times yesterday did we see third and three or less versus last year when it was third and nine? Or there were several of those yesterday.
And along those lines, you look at lost yardage, and we had virtually no lost yardage. Michigan had something like 43 yards in lost negative rushing and so forth. And that's been the biggest improvement. Obviously, that ties into not allowing any sacks. But it's also in the run game where we've avoided the five-yard loss on a first-down run, which plagued us last year, you know, week in and week out. So those are the signs of clear improvement that we've been looking for. And although, again, at face value, 113 yards rushing, face value, you look and say, oh, geez, that's terrible. But, Ed, you mentioned Michigan's front seven returned virtually everybody from last year and is a very highly regarded group, maybe the best group we'll see until Southern Cal. And we avoided sacks, had positive yardage, got into third and short, and converted several key third and shorts in the second half. And I think that's the story of the game as much as the turnovers were.
Well, that we've got to take that and build on that. We were easy to criticize when things weren't that way. You know, eight sacks last year against this same offensive line. None this year. There was really one that should have been. Clawson threw it, I thought, ill-advised. It was almost a grounding on a third and eight or nine, and he could have eaten it, and we just punt, right? But even if you say that's one sack, one versus the eight – it's much, much better, and so you got
to
take that.
Wait a minute, let's talk about that a little bit, not to be argumentative with you, but I thought that was a good play. Clawson escaped a couple sacks with his mobility and throwing the ball away, and I think those were positive, not ill-advised, but really good plays that show his development and progress. Bramer, what do you think about Clawson?
Yeah, I thought that was the one good thing that we saw. There was at least two or three that last year Clawson would have eaten and had been a deep sack. And this year, so far, he's avoided that. And I thought yesterday did a great job of that.
I think it's also a reflection of his improved strength. We've read about how he's put on some muscle and he's in better shape as he's grown a little bit, you know, physically matured. And the ability to escape the rush and have enough strength as somebody's chasing you down and hanging on you to get rid of the ball, I think, is a result of that improved strength. I thought he used good judgment for the most part. And, you know, you look at what he did statistically, 10 out of 21, that's not great. Two picks, that's not great. But overall, he made big plays, showed the ability. The deep ball to Golden Tate for the touchdown was terrific. The touchdown to Kamara was excellent. And in the first half, before the conditions got really bad, his numbers were very good.
He delivered some very good balls. I think that those numbers have to have an asterisk because of the conditions. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think the other thing that was evident yesterday is, I mean, you could absolutely see where his arm strength is definitely better than what it's been. Especially on the deep ball, obviously. Even that one to Golden Tate, it didn't look like he aired it out as far as he could throw it. He put a lot of touch on that ball. But, you know, the deep down and outs that he was throwing, I mean, I think he clearly looks like he's got a much better arm.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the way Jimmy Clawson's playing right now. It's funny. I think you guys are generally feel the same way. You like Clawson. I talk to various people around town, just, you know, casual conversations. It's amazing how much negativity there is about Jimmy Clawson. Personally, I think it's probably because of his hair, but which he should get cut, by the way. But I think just in terms of his play on the field, all thumbs up and through two games. I like
it. Yeah. Look, there's a thing at Notre Dame about, you know, your current quarterback and your current coach, people snipe at, you know, the two most popular people at Notre Dame are the next football coach and the next quarterback. And so there's some of that. Last year was a tough season to go through. Maybe his brashness and his kooky hair, he's not endearing himself to people, but he got pounded last year, and he's come back and is learning, and I agree with you. I have no problem with him. In fact,
yes,
I like him.
Another guy who is quickly becoming a star, Golden Tate, obviously. We're all very, very big Golden Tate fans here, and we haven't had a deep threat like that in quite some time. And when you think about maybe Rocket, you know, maybe it goes back that far. But when you think about him playing opposite of a guy like Michael Floyd, who appears to be the complete package. I mean, he just looks different at wide receiver than guys we've had there in the past. And I know it's been one or two catches this year, but he just looks like he has that special something. What, Brammer, Ed, what do you guys think so far, early reviews on Golden Tate and Michael Floyd?
Well, I like him. The one thing I like about Golden Tate is, I mean, he catches the ball in traffic now all of a sudden. He's running good routes. I mean, he looks like a wide receiver, whereas last year, I mean, you could tell he was a running back that just had some great speed that got thrown into that position. But, you know, having said those two things, I think that, boy, you'd have a tough time doubling up on either one of those guys. I mean, these guys may end up seeing a lot of single coverage in the next four or five games, and man, I gotta believe that bodes well for us.
Well, I agree with you. Talking about Michael Floyd first, yeah, he is going to be fantastic. Still a little raw here and there, but he's a true freshman. I saw some blocks he missed that would have sprung a few outside runs that could have gone big, but those are tough blocks. Experienced wide receivers could have a tough time with some of those blocks. Golden Tate. I've seen him do in two games. I've seen him do everything right in all phases of the game at various times. Holding on to the ball when he broke that one and then cut back for the long run. He was looking around and protecting the ball. I'm just very excited. And Mike, your point about having those two guys at wide leads into a point that Mike Sullivan you were making to me about the third receiver.
Right, right. I mean, right? You look at where we were in Charlie's first 2 years with Samardzija, and by the way, go Cubs. Just got to throw that in there since we talked about Samardzija. With Charlie's first 2 years with Samardzija and Stovall, how those two guys presented such a threat that Matt Shelton as the third wide receiver and David Grimes or Carlson, Fasano, you know, that gave us other options because the two guys on the end had attracted so much attention. And I think we're getting back to that point. Think back to last year. David Grimes, who I love, but let's be honest, he's a possession-type receiver. David Grimes was our number one threat last year, which really, I think, bottled up the offense a little bit because you didn't have to double David Grimes. He wasn't going to stretch the defense in the same way that Samardzija and Stovall did. Well, I think we're getting back to that point where we've got and that's not even to consider Duval Kamara, who's a very good receiver as well. But just what Floyd and Tate could do could really open up Kyle Rudolph and David Grimes, and now the offense really starts to click.
Let's talk about the other side of the ball a little bit defensively. We have to be honest with ourselves about Michigan coming in with an offense that was kind of struggling to find itself, and they appeared to find themselves in large measure and then gave a lot of it back. McGuffey is really good, really good. And so you say, well, they gave it away, and they racked up some yards on us and all that. And, you know, all that's true. But we made some plays. You know,
I was going to make that point. There was 2 points in the game that I thought were huge that we didn't make last year. And going back to the first half, it's 21-7. Michigan's got the ball. They're driving on us first down. Inside the 10, I'm pretty sure it was inside the 10. And we hold them to a field goal, and that goes a long way for the team. I mean, when you hold them for a field goal right there, the momentum shifts right back to you. And then again, it's 28-17, Michigan's driving. They're down to the 5-yard line, and Bruton, who had an unbelievable game, I mean, he comes up with a huge play. And there, I think right then and there is when I thought at that point, you know what, we're going to end up winning this game, no doubt about it. Great
Mike,
play.
Those are two excellent points, two keys in the game, holding them to three. Absolutely. I think possession's been somewhat overlooked because of all the big plays. But that was an enormous, and there was some really good tackling that took place. And Ed, you talked about McGuffey. McGuffey was hard to tackle. And then the big back for Michigan, I can't remember his name, who scored one of their touchdowns. But in the series where we held them to a field goal, the defense in the red zone tackled really well, and we really flew around the field, got after with some great pursuit. David Bruton is a bona fide stud. He's an All-American
totally.
On this defense. But yep. other guys that continue, I think, to play well is across the board in the secondary. I like Rashawn McNeil, I think, is a very good player. It was good to see the young guys, Gary Gray and Robert Blanton, get in there and make plays in the secondary. The secondary is really starting to get become deep and stacked with talent.
They are. Something else I noticed in the game, I wonder if you guys saw this as well. I mean, the one thing that gave me some hope and promise was that when we were going man-to-man, our guys were locked up with them. I mean, Michigan did make some plays down the field, a couple in those man-on-man coverages caught the ball, but my God, our guys were right there with them step for step, and that hasn't been the case in the past.
Scary thing, because you and I are agreeing with each other, and you're making great points. But I was thinking the same thing, so different than the last 3 or 4 years, 3 years anyway, where we're playing man. And, yeah, we get people got open on us. We got burned. You know, it's impossible to stay man-to-man with people across the field all the time. But we were close and made plays and broke things up. And sometimes we were
well,
all
that's
over
gonna be, and that's going to be really critical in – John Tenuta's style of defense, where as we bring everybody, yeah. I mean, we're going to be exposed a little bit. You know, Michigan's long touchdown yes. on the screen pass, they threw a screen right into a blitz and hit it for obviously a big play. But we have to have guys that can lock up if we're going to be blitzing as much as we are.
But how about this?
Yes, wait a minute, yeah. Because here's the thing. And this is sort of the good news, bad news kind of thing. So there's good news about how we're staying with these people, right? The bad news is, we haven't really gotten to the quarterback with all these blitzes. We really haven't. We did not get to that guy much. There's some key hurries. One of them was in the series, Bram, that you mentioned, in which they ended up for a field goal. We had a great sort of made him hurry and throw it bad into the end zone. But we really haven't gotten to people, and yet our D-backs have saved us. So if we ever get to, people, then the package is really going to be dangerous.
Another thought on the play of the secondary, Kyle McCarthy at strong safety and Bruton at free safety is a better combination than what we had last year. All due respect to Tom Zbikowski, who did a lot of great things, but I think Kyle McCarthy is a better tackler. You know, maybe he's not as big as Zbikowski. Maybe he's not as fast as Zbikowski, but I haven't seen our safeties get out of position, and I haven't seen McCarthy miss too many tackles. A lot of good things to talk about coming off of a win over Michigan. We could go on, but we're out of time for right now. We'll be back again on Tuesday with another show, and we'll talk a little bit about the implications for the rest of the year with a 2-0 start for Notre Dame. I'll look ahead on the schedule a little bit and also talk about the polls and should Notre Dame be getting any consideration. But until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. Go Irish.